Turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 19. The 19th chapter of Matthew. And verse number 13. I want to speak just briefly at the last part of the meeting today on children of all things. So let's look together in the 19th chapter and verse 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Now, secondly, in Philippians in chapter 1, I just want to maybe just explain briefly as we go through it. I'm thinking in chapter 19 of Matthew as to the Lord's evaluation of children. And let's look together to Philippians chapter 1. And just the very first verse, chapter 1, and verse number 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. And so I suggest we have here, for our purposes, the assembly's encouragement in regards to this deacon responsibility. Last of all, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse number 14, 2 Timothy 3, 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now there's two Old Testament examples we could have of motherhood that are most instructive. We've heard of Mary in the New Testament. But we could, of course, remember the words of Hannah in 1 Samuel at the birth of the child. She says, for this child I pray. And so we have a mother, and it has been her prerogative and privilege to spend time in prayer for the child that God eventually gave to her. And so it's incumbent upon all to consider the avenue of prayer regarding the matter of children. I could have referred to the fact of marriage is honorable. We have established that, I'm sure. And the apostle says he speaks of younger women to marry, bear children, guide the house. And so children are part of the purpose of God's within the confines of marriage. Hannah is an example of mother in turn then that prayed. And then I'm thinking in terms of the words of Pharaoh's daughter as she speaks to the mother of Moses. And she says, take this child away, nurse it for me, and I'll pay thee wages. And so our children are given to us as a heritage of the Lord. Within the bonds of marriage, for us to pray prior and afterwards. And for some, the prayers go on and on and on. But I trust in turn that we can look upon it as we note the words spoken to Mother of Moses, take this child away and nurse it for me. And appreciate the fact that God has given to us little lives that have begun an existence at conception that will never end. Now that fits in a trust with what our brother has been saying. Even in the area of sanctity, to understand what happens when a child is born into this world,
It isn't just something. And that is why abortion is murder. What commences continues eternally.
So we as parents, and I speak to grandparents as well, need to understand the implications when it comes to the raising, to the birth and the raising and the guidance of children. But that's what I'm not getting into family life today, although there certainly is lots of food for thought today, but I want to speak maybe in another vein, in an area that maybe isn't touched on too much, and that has commenced again in the fall months in this city and surrounding areas, that is a valuable, vital work for God that sometimes goes unheralded and is unsung. And that is the weekly involvement of Christians in this city in the teaching of children the truths of the Bible in light of eternity. And so I'll just touch basically on what is on our minds in these basic scriptures here, and I trust that you might understand the work, for this assembly has just concluded about 3 hours ago. And for most assemblies that are involved in children's work and Sunday school work, that sometimes becomes drudgery. And sometimes becomes just something to keep younger folk kind of busy in assembly life, but has upon it the approval of God. And is a work that has eternal implications. And as I stand here this afternoon looking over this audience from the very first row to the very back, I look upon the faces of people who were converted through the Sunday school, who now occupy seats in our assemblies. When I heard a brother this morning in Stalmish get up and read the announcements for the day and the events and so on, I thought, you know, I don't know about Lonnie's conversion, but somewhere along the line, the young man and now his wife from this town of Stalmish, or maybe it's a city by now, I don't know, were contacted and interested in the children's work, and God reached and saved them. And there's those in the audience here that somebody knocked upon your door, or perhaps somebody was given your name and they made a phone call. For you see, the Lord Jesus, as he evaluated children, the Lord Jesus was interested in little children. He said, permit them to come unto me and forbid them not. As his disciples rebuked them, misunderstood the heart of the Lord Jesus for these little ones around his feet, and he longed to hold them and to bless them and to pray with them. And I trust we might hear today, each one of us, especially in local assembly capacity. And I speak especially to you, sisters and brothers that are definitely involved in this tremendous work. You might get encouragement here today at the commencement of a new year, in the basement perhaps, seeking by the help of God to speak to children and teenagers about the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, as he moved to Calvary. In his last words, he said to the daughter of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but for yourself and for your children. The Lord Jesus displayed an interest and a care for these young lives. And how can we afford to despise or display a lack of care when from multicultural backgrounds in this metropolis are given in our domain and spirit influence the opportunity to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking here just during meetings recently. Young teen went past the door and I just
spoke to her. I had noticed her in a meeting listening very, very well. There was a whole row of different young people from various nationalities. And this one young teen caught my eye. He said, I just wonder, are you understanding what we're getting at in these meetings? She said, well, I'm certainly listening to what is being said. She said, I've never heard much of this before. I said, what is your background? She said, well, I'm a Buddhist, raised a Buddhist. I said, where were you born? Well, she said, I was born in Vietnam, but I'm living now here in Ontario. I said, have you ever been exposed to this type of Christian gospel before? No, never before. Now, there's people here in our audience today that have got children and teens in their classes from many of these backgrounds. Third world countries, children that have never heard about Jesus. And so we have the Lord Jesus as our example in his appreciation and his estimation of young lives that he sought to manifest a care for. But then over, we'll move quickly in Philippians chapter 1, we have in turn now the involvement of the church in its service responsibilities. And so Paul writes to the saints in Christ at Philippi, distinguishing the saints, Godwards, and their local influence, manwards. But with them are those overseers that have a care for the flock, and in turn those that will serve the church. And so I want to speak basically on the assembly's encouragement, because whenever we are added to the church, when there comes a moment to identify myself with the believers in a local area, fellowship being a two-way street, they receive me and I receive them to share in the joys and privileges of assembly life. And so there are times where the assembly senses it has a need to further its work and extend its boundaries. And so maybe at noon hour on any given Sunday could be as high as 80 or 90 as some assemblies are experiencing right now. I hope it's going to be indicative of greater days ahead where Sunday schools are being attended again. But it needs to have involvement by the assembly. And we discover that even involving ourselves in the work with the children and teens that come to us, it isn't just something given to somebody to keep them busy, but it's something they do as they serve the church. And so I suggest it's deacon work and requires committed, conscientious believers whose lives are in turn an influence for God and for good in seeking to instruct and to teach the children the Word of God, and they see it lived in their lives. But you see, in turn, that the assembly appreciates what is being done, and there are those deacons and deaconesses that are serving God in this capacity, in this noble task for God, it in turn requires the saints of the assembly to support through their prayers, and in any way possible, to seek to understand the importance of perhaps the greatest gospel activity we have on a regular basis, as the assembly in a given locality understands its obligation to its neighbors, and to realize the importance of being involved as a witness for Christ in a local area, and touching doors, and touching lives with the greatest message, the message of the gospel. And so here we have not only the thought of the deacon responsibility connected with serving the assembly, but the support and encouragements of all the saints to covet children and teenagers in this godless world for Christ. And to be glad that we have the privilege of being able to teach some child from some distant land who's coming to our neighborhood. I was here, I think maybe in the spring or early summer, I think it was the awards. I kept forgetting when I am at certain places. I think it was in June, and downstairs I looked out, and here is a man with his children, and I spoke to him, and he replied in Spanish. And I know there's a bit of a movement around to get somebody speaking Spanish to talk to the man at the door looking for some place to bring his children. So you see, we have opportunities that aren't afforded us in any other way. The assembly
needs to be enthusiastic and encouraging in the labors of the work of the gospel in this capacity. But last of all, I want to touch really on the individual or the teacher's expenditure. Because you see, the labors of you, the one that God in turn has fitted for this task of representing the local assembly in this vital work, does not come easy. Our brothers spoken of the cost. Here is Eunice. And she was involved in Timothy's upbringing as she taught the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make him wise unto salvation. So you see, now mothers of our society have defaulted in their moral obligation to teach the child the basics of the Bible. And so God has given to us now this responsibility. And what are we supposed to do with it? We are to teach the children the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, that are able to make them wise unto salvation. And so it's important to lay a foundation in your work, whether on a Monday night or a Sunday afternoon, and teach moral values based upon the Bible. Teach the Bible truths and Bible stories so they might get into their hearts. And as you do that, you seek in turn to give them the story of salvation and give them the gospel. You never know, as children grow up under your influence in this great work, where that child will eventually be. I have talked recently to a Christian, and he said, you know, I had a thrill when I walked into the regional hospital. And he said, I was just there passing through, and he said, I happened to be in the hospital. And he said, who did I meet? But he said, here is a young man, a surgeon, on staff. He said, I taught that boy in Sunday school about the Lord Jesus. And he said, hey, that young man is a bright Christian, a testimony for Christ in his capacity. You never know. In your labors for Christ, I want to just touch briefly. I see the time has gone. You see, there must be preparation on the part of the teacher. Paul says to the guides in Acts 20, take heed unto yourselves and to the church, the flock of God. So you see, teacher, you need to be prepared in your own hearts. You cannot walk into a class and think you'll just turn on a switch and it'll all come. There must be time to prepare your hearts and in turn your hands to give something to the children that you've learned and got from God. It takes preparation. It can't just come late Saturday night or early Sunday morning. Set aside time of preparation. Then there must be prayer. Lay hold of those young children and teens before God. Lay hold of God for their salvation and for their families. Never look at Sunday school as an end in itself. It's a means to an end to seek to see the children and the teens brought to Christ. Taught the basics, baptism, eternal security, truth of the assembly, and it should be a conduit into assemblies, even as some here are evidences of. Preparation, prayer, participation. Never fear getting close to the families and the mothers and the fathers in the course of your life. And I'll tell you this much. If the assembly has 80 or 90 children in a Sunday school, there are somebody or somebodies that are getting involved and getting active. Sunday schools don't grow just of their own. It's sometimes a lot of spade work, a lot of visitation, a lot of prayer. But it needs to be done. And it is service to God and to the assembly that we can perform as we wait upon God and we participate. There's perseverance involved because it gets tough sometimes. Children disappoint us. Patience with them. And lay hold of God for power to seek to see teens and young people saved in early and tender years, in turn with an appetite for the things of God and showing a desire to go on. And God help us that we might learn from Mary today, a mother worthy of notes, and then the tremendous potential in children that we have in this city. God only knows the doors that can be opened
and the blessing we can see when an assembly of saints, an exercised believers, part of that assembly, are on fire for God and desirous of His blessing amongst these the Lord loves so much.